Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, good morning. How many know it's a great day?
Yes, it is.
Amen. We just thank God for being here this morning. Thank God for Pastor Terry allowing me to speak this morning. And I just speak out of what God has given me. But, you know, what's really been on my heart is words, confession, you know. And I just want to share something with you. I want to be conscious of our time. This phrase is not for me. I read this somewhere. I forget the author who gave me this, but I was reading an article one day, and I just run across this, and it got my attention. It says, what you don't want, you don't watch. What you don't resist has the right to remain. And what you don't confront, you cannot conquer. You know, and I made a note by that, and I kept this. I've had it now for probably about, I don't even know how long I've had it, but I often go back to it, you know, because sometimes we need to be reminded to stay on course. You know, and it's so easy to get off course, you know, to sometimes, you know, I really feel in my heart, you know, and you don't have to say amen or it's me or oh me or whatever. Don't even comment, please. But I believe sometimes that we have a church experience, but not God experience. And I know you say, well, how can you separate the two? You know, it's good to come in here and we feel God. I even question myself sometimes, you know, God, I feel your presence, but what is it about? What is it really about feeling your presence? One reason is this, to let us know that he's real, that he's with us, okay? Those are the reasons that came in my heart as I was talking to God, you know. Because sometimes I think, you know, that for me, you know, I just don't want to come to church. But it's a lifestyle. Amen. You know, it's an everyday 24/7. I mean, it's a lifestyle. It's not about, you know, I come to church and I get happy over the word and I shout and have a good time. All those things are good. That's good. I'm not X-ing that out, okay? Say he's not X-ing that out. All that is good, but the bottom line is this, do we really know him? See, and this is a key, you know, and I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord, I'm just saying what I feel that the Holy Spirit has impressed in my heart to give to you, okay? So you can judge these words, okay? It's all right, okay? I ain't gonna feel bad if you say, nope, you missed it, okay? I just go on with what God has given me, okay? So, the thing about, I believe, that's hindering the body of Christ is this, our words. Our words. See, there are two ways that we change, okay? One way we change, first order changes like this. We change our situation, or we change our environment, or our location. Okay, we change our location, okay? But with change in location doesn't change within. The second order change that the body of Christ we have to get a grip of is this. Our belief system has to change. Paradigm shifts. See, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, they really wasn't discussing about going to heaven. Nicodemus asked the question. He said, how do you do these things that you do? We know God, but how do you do these things? Jesus replied to him this way. He said, except a man is born again, he cannot perceive or he cannot see the kingdom. Other words, our perception about God sometimes has been distorted by our environment from what we were raised in. But that is not the truth of who God is, the way I was raised in. See, the enemy want to keep us in the lie that we're no good. We'll never make it. We come from the wrong tracks of the family. I'm too black. I'm too white. I'm Hispanic. I'm Puerto Rican. You know, I'm whatever nationality you are. We always come up with excuses. Why not? But I want to expose the lie the enemy is telling us, and he's speaking it over us, and we have accepted what the enemy has said. Some of us have. Not all of us, but some of us have. And the reason I want you to know that some of us have, because we use the victim mentality. When you go to talking to him, well, you know, you know, my mom, you know, my dad, you know, come on, that's a victim mentality. See, the Bible said if any man or any woman, a boy or girl, is in Christ, they are a new creation. Now, I know there are things that we go through and there are things that we face in life that is difficult. That's what Jesus was trying to get across to his disciples when he said, look, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. What he was really saying, this is a narrow place. It is a difficult place. It is a place that you will face opposition. But you have to begin to make up your mind and begin to speak and say the things that God has said about you. I'm telling you, for months I've struggled with things that the enemy was trying to convince me of my past. Months I've been struggling with this, the thoughts of my past just flashing. Every time I get in a place, you know, the enemy remind me. And you know what? Thank God that he is true to his word. Because the word has so changed me to where I look at that and it don't even phrase me. Because I know who I am. Okay? And I want to share with you this morning about a situation that happened in the Bible that before there was ever a war, there was words. That was words. How many, we read the story of David and Goliath. I just want to summarize this to you, okay? The 16th chapter and the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. But I just want to just give you some inserts that just some things that the Holy Spirit enlightened to me, okay? You can go to 1 Samuel 17. And I'm not going to try to read all the chapter. I'm just going to point out some things to you. Is that okay? Thank you for the yes. Okay. 17, and I want to start at verse 8 because you can go back and read the entire story. But it said, he stood and he shouted to the ranks. Listen to what he's saying. This is Goliath here. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Now, this whole situation is about being served. If I kill you guys are going to serve us. If y'all kill me, we will serve you, okay? And how many know that the Bible speaks of us being servants of the Lord? And what we have to understand in our serving, I want to share this, in our serving, you might be on a job, you might be have your own business, but how many know we're serving? I hadn't always, when I was in a plant, you know, I got this in the latter end, but how many know wherever God has blessed you to be to make income, you are serving God there. Yes. See, we have to understand that I'm just not working a job. Working a job is part of worship. When God told Adam, he gave him a job before he gave him a wife. And I know we live in a society now that is kind of twisted around, you know, the woman works and the man, you know, but I ain't against all that, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying that it's been what? Distorted. It's twisted from what God intended it to be. And God gave Adam a job. You said, God didn't give Adam a job. Yeah, he did. He told him, he said, I'm going to place you somewhere, but I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you rulership, but I'm going to place you in the garden. But I'm going to give you a responsibility. I'm going to give you a job. And that job is to take care of the garden and keep it. So work is not a sin. Just want to say, it is not a sin. Paul even went to say, if you don't work, you don't. Hey, I'm with the book. I'm standing with this, right? Okay. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I'm telling you that the enemy is trying to set us up for failure. And how many know that's his job? I'm not going to boast on what he's doing, but I'm just trying to get you to see something here, okay? And they were serving. Notice what he said here. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you should become our servants and serve us. Again, the Philistine said, I defy the ranks. Now, this is where he messed up. He should have left this alone. I defy what? The ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that he may fight, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel, listen to what it said. Heard what? Come on, talk to me. Heard what? See, no fists had been swung, no bullets had been fired, even though they didn't have them. But how many know they had swords, they had rocks, they had knives, but nothing was ever did what? Tossed or thrown or swung. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. See, this is what the enemy want to do to us. Let me give you a definition of the word defile. It means to challenge the power of. To challenge a person to do something deemed important. In other words, he was challenging Israel, come on out and fight with me. But before there was ever a blow thrown or a rock thrown or a sword swung, they heard the words and he said, I will defy the armies of Israel. I will defy Israel. And when these guys heard these words, they were what? Dismayed. Now let me tell you something about dismayed. The word means to break down the carriage. To break down the carriage. To break down the carriage of completely, so as by subduing, okay? And also as sudden danger or trouble, disheartened, feeling defeat. Now listen, words cause them to feel this way. Now, be honest with yourself. What is the enemy whistling to your ears that's causing you to draw back from God? See, he's not a creator. He don't have all power, because Jesus stripped him of his power. He disarmed him. But all he can do is remind us of our past. That's all he can work with. He's not a creator. He don't have all power. But he can remind us of our past. But what we have to come to grips to understand is, I don't have a pass. The Bible says, thy sins and thy iniquities will I what? I will not remember. I will not remember. I got a clean slate. I'm washed in the blood. I don't have a past. Even though I do have a past, but how many know the past does not define me? It don't define who I am. That is not my identity. That is not the words that's been pronounced over me. See? And you say, well, what do we do with these words that the enemy is saying? I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 10. Paul said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? It's thoughts, words that hold us captive. See, it is a fortress that the enemy is trying to build around us to keep us from experiencing the life of Zoe, the life of God. And it's only words. See, do you know the biggest thing the enemy try to keep us from doing is the word of God and prayer. It's the word of God and prayer. See, if I keep them from the word, they ain't gonna know the mind of God. If I keep them from prayer, they ain't gonna experience the presence of God. So he's sending words. He's speaking words. But we can take those words captive by the power of God. We can pull them down. Amen. Not just grab them. How many know? We slam them down. Okay. Let me finish this, okay? He says, and they were greatly afraid. You know, the Bible said God has not given you. See, God has a word for every lie the enemy is trying to put on us. But what the enemy does not want, he want to keep us so busy that we don't have time to study. See, but you can make time. You got to prioritize. See, and you got to understand something. I'm telling you, go back and read Genesis. Do you not know that he said the seed of the serpent is going to be our enemy? So don't think I can outgrow him. See, he wants us to think that we can use carnal things to enforce or to do away with him, but we cannot. See, people say, well, I just want to give him a piece of my mind. He would love that. He loved that. But I guarantee you, if you say, let me give him the mind of Christ. Because the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, spiritual wickedness, the rulers of darkness. Come on, we live in a world that is fallen, but how many know God left us here to begin to subdue it, to begin to take back what the enemy has stolen? Some of our families, our children, our marriages. God is saying, it's time to stand up and take a fight against these things. Now, we don't get on a soapbox and condemn everything that's going on, but first of all, we need to have a lifestyle that reflects what we're saying. We got to come into alignment with what God has said about us and what God is saying to us. We can't no longer play, you know, well, you know, I just don't want to offend nobody with this. You know, come on. How many know the world could care less if the church get offended? See, we can't be so passive about the truth to where we don't want to offend no one. I don't want to intentionally offend you. Just like I had an encounter with this person, and they said, well, you know, you offending me when you tell me what the Bible say. Hey, I could care less. If you get offended over what the Bible says, guess what? Honey, take that sock and wear it. Because guess what? John ain't changing. For the world, for the devil, and what is going on in our society, this culture, I refuse to be shaped by this culture. I refuse to. That's why now it's almost like I was told when I was a young boy, son, when you get a little older, you won't care what you say. You just say it. And how many know that might be pretty well the truth? I'm to the place to where I want to use wisdom. I want to love people. But how many know love sometimes can be tough? When you correct people out of love and they get mad at you, tell them, well, you don't really love me. How many know that's just a selfish person want their way? That's what it is. Selfishness. I just want my way. It's like a kid with a lollipop. Mine. We're going to fight over this one. No, we ain't going to fight. How many know the truth will define who we are? Let the truth speak for us. Not my agenda, not your agenda, but let the truth speak for us. And I'm telling you, we're coming to a place to where we got to align ourselves. We can't no longer, church, I'm telling you, we can't no longer take this for granted. Because this is our way out. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And what we as believers have to understand is I want to soak in the word so that when the enemy come, I can be just like Jesus saying, the word says. It is written. The word said. And I don't know if you can really get to a place like that. Why not? He said it. Greater works than these shall you do than I do because I go to the Father. See, Jesus didn't leave us here for the purpose of just getting beat up. We've took on that mentality. But Jesus never intended for us to be beat up by the devil and this culture. Do you know that's why they really crucified Jesus? Because he did not line up with their culture. Yes, he came to die for us. Yes, he came to redeem us. But do you not know that Jesus walked this earth as a man, as an alien? He didn't even have his 12 on his side sometime. But he said, I only do what I see my Father do. And I only say what I hear my Father say. You said, there's no way we can do that. He said we could. But you know what it is? We don't want to discipline ourselves. Let me tell you this. The Muslims, we know, and I know that it's not the true living God that, you know, we know that. But there's a method we can learn from them that they're willing to be community-based. They're willing to be community-based, and they're willing to die for what they believe. They are committed to what they believe. But here we are, have the truth. And I hope you don't take this the wrong way. Well, Pastor John just bashing us. No, I'm not bashing you. I want to make you aware. If you take anything from what I'm saying, say he's trying to wake me up and make me aware. Because this is a problem with the church. We don't want to discipline ourselves to what Jesus is teaching. We want the blessings. But see, let me tell you something. It ain't about the blessing. See, it ain't about the blessing. It's about knowing him and carrying out his will that he's told us to do. And I'm going to tell you this. Just because he told us to do it, don't think the enemy is going to sit back and say, y'all just go ahead and do it. Have at it. Enjoy it. See, he loved for us to come in these four walls and just celebrate the truth. Speak the word of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm the head and not the tail. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He loved it when we in here doing that. But when we get out of these four walls, are we still saying the same thing? Well, Pastor John, you know, that's for church. See, that's the mentality he wants us to have. He wants us to leave it within the church. But how many know we are the church? We are the church. See, we are the church. But what the church has to do, we got to wake up. We got to wake up. See, I'm telling you, it's one thing. Let me get back to this. Okay. Notice what he said. When they heard the words of this, they was dismayed. They became broken down. They lost their courage. But in reality, how many know that when God had anointed David, and guess what? God has anointed you. Say, I am anointed. See, but what the enemy wants us to think is that we're in this by ourselves, but we're not. And I know we're living in a season, this Christmas season, a lot of people get depressed. A lot of people lose their hope. But see, we got to quit letting the seasons dictate who we are. Yes, look, I have compassion for those that have lost a loved one. I have compassion. Let me tell you something. Bear two brothers and a mom right around Christmas time last year, 2 years ago. I think it'll be 2 years this year. Okay? 2 years ago, right around Christmas. And you know what? The enemy came and sat on my shoulders just yesterday. You know, you lost a brother. I don't know if you need to preach. You know, you need to grieve. I done grieve. Oh, excuse me. I already been grieving over this. Now, you get out of my mind in the name of Jesus right now, and I just start having me a praise party right there by myself. Now, listen. I could have sat there. Sister Faye could have come back. They had a great time, and I could have just spilled on, oh, you know, my brother died at this time. I can't believe you come talking about how good a time y'all had. I could have just spilled over. But see, the word works. It was his words that was trying to intimidate me. It was his words trying to bring depression. That D word means to press down. And he thought, no, not today, not this one. And I'm telling you, our words, see, Proverbs wasn't just saying this when he said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. See, watch what we say. Because Jesus said this, and I'm going to get back to that. But Jesus said this in the word. He said, say to the mountain, say to this mountain. See, but we study playing with the mountain. Oh, it looks so good. Oh, it just looks up so pretty. Come on, you got to begin to talk to your mountain. And a mountain is anything that try to separate you from what God has said about you. What God has said you could have, what God has said about you, what God's inheritance. See, the mountain could be a sickness. You know, thank God for Sister Dawn and Brother Stephen and those others that have been touched. You know, Ashley and Nick, you know, the baby and God just doing things. God is showing himself real on our behalf. So we can't just sit back and let the enemy beat us up, just words. He's just saying words. But the Bible has given us good news. It's that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let's don't stop there. And we love not our lives unto the death. See, and getting back to David, when David came up, see, his brothers already had a little jealousy because he was anointed right in the midst of them. How many know, who he think he is? He's the baby. He need to be somewhere taking care of the sheep, you know. Who got taken care, you know. Just go back and read this and you'll see it's in there. And David, with this Philistine, when he came out, he was boasting and defying the army of God. He was challenging them. And these guys were afraid. And these supposed to be men of war. And then they just heard what he said. Didn't make an attempt, just heard it. And David heard it. And David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he will defy the armies of the living God? Send a man out that will fight with me. Who's willing to come out and fight with me?" And they all fled off of words. And David heard him. And David said, "Who is this? Who is this guy?" For 40 days, he ramping and raiding. "Send me out a man. Send me out a man." And do you know the number 40 is a number of testing. The number of trial and probation. Moses, 40 days. Jesus, 40 days. Noah, 40 days. Well, what was being tested here? The word that God had gave them. Noah is going to rain. And Noah could have said, "Lord, it's never rained, God, it's never rained." But by obedience, he did what God said. Do you realize that you could hear the people laughing at Noah saying, "Well, this man is crazy. It's never rained before." But he heard from God. 40 days. And guess where Noah was? In the ark. Probably with his heels kicked up. I told him. I warned him, Lord. He was in there safe. See, God has got you covered, church. He's got us covered. But David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he will come and defile the armies of the living God?" Number one, David is saying, look, he don't even have a covenant. Here we are, the Hebrew. We have a covenant with the true and living God, and we're running from this little giant. I mean, you know, Saul, if anybody, Saul should have went and confronted him because Saul was a tall man too. But he didn't have the goods. He didn't have what it took to confront him. But here's a little lad, just a little lad, a youth. And the Goliath had the nerve to laugh at him. He said, "You're a youth, man. I've been fighting ever since I was a youth. You're a little bitty fellow. You coming out against me?" David said, "Look, you just don't know. Let me tell you something, Saul. There was a bear and a lion came and took one of my lead one little bitty lambs, and I went after him." Now David testified. He said, "That same God, That same God that came up on me to take care of the lion, to take care of the bear, is the same God that's going to come up on me to take care of Goliath. Don't worry about how big he is, boys. Guess what? He's too big to miss. So I got my eye on him. Just let me at him." So I said, now, hold on. How many know flesh always say what? Just hold on. You know, let's talk about this here. Saul said, "You take my armor, Put that on you. And David, no doubt, was clanging and just all this stuff, you know, trying to pull us. He said, look, I ain't tested this, but I know one thing, that I know a God that's able to deliver him in our hands. And David's words was this. He said, you come at me with all these spears and sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. How many know it makes a difference when you confront your problem with the Lord? And what David did was, David took his experience with the lion and the bear, and he said, this Philistine is going to be just like one of them. And David took his sling, took his stick, and went to the brook, and he got him out some stones. And he got him out 5 smooth stones. People say, you know, now organization was, you know, these denominations, they say, well, that's Jesus. But you know, Goliath had 5 more brothers. And David said, I'm getting enough ammunition that if one of them show their head, I got some more. Huh? Come on. I got some more. See, what do you got in your bag? What you got in your bag? Can you reach in that bag and pull up something? See, God has given us ammunition for the enemy, but a lot of times we don't want to go in the bag to bring it out. You know why? Because sometimes the enemy say, it ain't going to work. But see, he's a liar anyway. It is going to work. It is going to work. And that's why we got to watch our words. Quit being so hard on yourself. Because the words is what's, and see, Proverbs says, you are snared with the words of your own mouth. Sometimes the enemy just throws something out there to see if he's going to take the bait. And when you say, no, I ain't no good. He said, no, you ain't no good. You say, no, I sure ain't. He said, no, you sure ain't. See, he's going to agree with you. Because he's a liar. See, but when you begin to stand up and declare who you are, see, that's why the Bible said we don't need to cast away our confidence. It has great recompense of reward. See, after you've done the will of God, see, let me tell you something that I'm learning. I got to believe it first. We say it, but do we believe it? See, what you really believe is going to happen. You can say millions and you can say a lot of things, but only what you believe is going to happen. Paul said, I believe and therefore have I spoken. See, I don't want to just say words that I don't believe. I don't want to throw out a bunch of words just because, you know, well, I'm going to just say this. I'm going to say, no, it's not a formula. It's a lifestyle. I'm saying who God says I am. I'm saying what God says I can do. I'm saying what God has said about me. I understand that I was created from the foundation of the world to be a father pleaser. Yes, I was raised in sin. I was shaped in iniquity, but that's in the past. Now, if there's something that's holding me, how many know God has made available inner healing? We can get help. It's not a doomed case. Well, why I keep stumbling over the same thing? Well, come on, let's talk about it. Because sometimes there are things in our soul that hold us captive, but how many know the power of God and the revelation of God's word is able to set us free? It's able to set us free. So that's no excuse. People tell me, well, you know, and I'm telling you, I wished I'd have known this when I was, me and Sister Faye first got married. I'm telling you, I'd have had some, you know, I got good kids now, but I wouldn't have made a lot of mistakes, Pastor Terry. I wouldn't have whooped them so much. I'd have talked more than whooped them. Because, you know, I'm telling you, you'll be saying stuff and you'll be telling that kid, this is what gets me. I look and I laugh. You know, little Johnny, didn't I tell you to sit down? You're just like your daddy, little Johnny. And when Johnny go acting like daddy, you just told him what he was supposed to act like. And you want, come in. No. Little Johnny, look, this is not acceptable. It works. I tried on my grandson. I said, look, Ori, this is not acceptable. He's a little, you know how kids are smart. Papa, what you mean? This is not acceptable. I said, I don't reward bad behavior. I said, now, if you want your iPad, you're going to have to do your work. He got, you know, in that little stubborn move, and in me, I wanted to drive it out. But the Holy Spirit was saying, now, just calm down, John. Words. I just said, look, Ori, if you want your iPad, you got to do your work. You got to read a verse a day out of the Bible and do your work. I come home and face it. John, he done did his work. See, words. I'm telling you, communication, even with our wives. I was a guy growing up. I didn't say anything. I didn't talk. But when I got married, I carried that over in my marriage. And my wife come from a family, all of them can be talking at the same time, and they know what they're saying. And I'm thinking, you know, something ain't right about this, you know. You know. But then she got my attention. She said, you got to talk to me. And, Bro Pat, God, I started seeking God how to be a husband the biblical way. And now she tells me I talk too much. No, communication. See, if we will begin to talk to each other, if we will begin to communicate, see, words. I remember Terry Wilson, when I first heard him teaching one Sunday, when I first came to this church, I remember him saying, words mean something. You know, and I thought about it, and it's true, because God gave us dialogue to communicate and have relationships. But see, what if I say that only works for the church? When I'm in church, when I'm up preaching so good, you know, and just preaching so well. No, it's an everyday life. This is my life. This is the way I live. See, I don't put God in a box on Sunday. I get him out on Sunday morning, and then Sunday afternoon, I put him back in that. No, he stays in me. And I'm telling you, is it difficult sometimes? Yes, it is, but it works. That's why we need to know what the scripture says. We need to know the truth, not just a dead letter, not out of religious settings, but a relationship, so that when the enemy starts speaking words of lies, see, how long are you going to tolerate the lies of the enemy? God has given you his best. And he's saying, I am for you, not against you. He wants to make every one of us whole. Not just heal me, he wants to make me whole. To where there's nothing lacking. See, I can get healed, but my soul still can be messed up. And God wants to make me whole. He wants to heal those wounds of the soul. He want to make me whole with the truth. And that's what Jesus was teaching. He said, the truth will make you free. See, I've been set free, but now I'm being made free. I've been set free, but now I'm being made free. I'm getting free on the inside. I'm getting free now, not to do my own thing, but I'm free now to choose the right thing, which is the word of God. And I got to speak the word of God over my life, just like I'm preaching right now. This is the way I'm learning to start talking to John. It's not the message, but you know what? It's a living message. I'm living out of what I'm sharing with you right now. I'm living out of it. See, if you want to see things turn around, change the way you talk. Watch what you say. You're saying, I got to go around watching what I say. Let me tell you something. It's not as hard as you think. It's a decision. And when you make that decision, the Holy Spirit will empower you to begin to speak words of life. Now, I'm going to say this. It's 3 minutes after 12, okay? I'm going to say this. It takes discipline. We can't no longer buffet. We don't want to buffet. Y'all hear that, didn't you? Paul said, I buffet my body. I make it do what it don't want to do by the power of God in me. See, we don't want our bodies to lord it over us. You know, let's cease being selfish and just become loving, speaking truth to one another. See, I didn't get into this, but anyway, it'll be okay. Go back and read 16, 17, and just see, it was words. Even the spies, Numbers 13 and 14, when they sent out the 12 spies, it was words that created them to start looking like grasshoppers. You know, it was words that they said, we can't do this. But there were two that said, Caleb and Joshua said, look, we're more than able. You're more than able to do this. Amen? Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I'm not finished, but I'll stop. You know why? Because how many know the word just continues to live in us as we allow it? And I just gave you a little piece of what John has been experiencing, what I'm learning. Life is not always about the roses. Life is about knowing him. Okay? Did I say something to help you? Yes. No. You don't have to clap. I didn't ask for a clap. No, I didn't. No. Now, if you want to give that to him, fine. But listen to me. I love you guys, and I know you guys love me. But we got to get real with this. We are a community, and we need one another, whether you admit it or not, more than ever. So if you see something that I'm liking, I give you permission to come up and say, look, John, let me share this with you, okay? Now, it's the way you do it that's going to determine whether I accept or not. See, don't use manipulation to shame a person to get your point across. Well, I just make them feel so bad. No, see, we're supposed to be people that edify, build up. And the way that we build up each other is with our words. Amen? Do you get that? How do we build each other up? Positive words. Words seasoned with grace. Seasoned with grace. Words that are appropriate for the time. Amen? Okay. Do you have anything, Pastor? You want to close out? I'm through. You can close out right now. Okay.
Amen. Great job. Give God praise. Amen. I love that man. I really do. I love him. Faye, as she leaves, she said, I do too, but I'm out of here. I want you to stand to your feet. Isn't God good? Now, I want you to pair up with somebody. I want you to just get with somebody. And if you're a couple, you can get with each other. Just pair up with somebody. Everybody got there? Paired up with somebody, right? There you go. And I'll pair up with Pastor John here. Now, y'all are in a circle. Y'all got to get paired up. Two people. One-on-one. One-on-one. By the way, here's some more names. We'll get them in just a second. Kids. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at them. Are you looking at them? Don't look at me. I want you to look at them. Hey, no kissing back there. I see y'all. I'm messing with you. Now, I want you to look at them, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to say a very positive thing to them. A very kind word or a blessing. I want you to do that now. Go ahead and do it now. All right, did you get that done? Now here, amen. Now you can do that in here. You can do that out there. You can just bless somebody with your words. Amen. Okay, everybody listen up. I think we have more children added to the, now there's some people that didn't get one. Vicky, Logan, I saw you down here. There's some more. There's, how many's on this tree? How many's left on this tree? Three? Four? I need these tags gone before you leave. So please come up and get one of these tags. If you're one of them that didn't get one to end, come get them now. God bless you. We love you. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, be here. Invite somebody. 74 Jazz Christmas Concert. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard Podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.